bunch of wonderful people. Listen, the message this morning is entitled The Spirit of America, and I want to talk about that spirit. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17, the Bible says, 2 Corinthians 3, 17, the Bible says that the Lord is that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. There's freedom. And so I want to congratulate all of you. Today you are literally sitting in a miracle. The world knows it. You are in a miracle. You should be aware of that. A miracle. Why? Because today, July 4th, 2010... is the 234th birthday of the United States of America, and this is what makes it special among many other reasons. This is the longest running nation in human history under its original document. For 234 years, the Declaration of Independence and the documents of this nation have kept this country together. It has become the envy of the free world. It has been the opponent of a totalitarian world. And you and I are sitting in a miracle. France, Russia, Portugal, Germany, they've all gone through numerous constitutions. And you are here right now in a nation that, yes, is young among the nations of the earth, still to this day. But you are being led by the oldest document, a republican form of government, a constitution like no other nation on the face of the earth. That is a miracle. So every time we celebrate the 4th of July, we are celebrating another year of a miraculous work of God in the earth. And God has a very favored place, apparently, in his heart for America. He's blessed this nation like no other. The United States of America has outproduced all other nations on the earth, many of them combined in the area of technology, wheat, fruit, on and on it goes. The greatest military power, the greatest economic power, the greatest ability in all the world for America to respond to the need of nations with our benevolent heart. Did you know that? Even in downturn economy like this, Americans still respond more generously than anybody else on the planet to an international need. It's an amazing thing. And here's the beautiful thing. I'm predominantly Portuguese. You might be Italian. You might be North African. Where are you from? Here's the beautiful thing. As I've said it before, I'll say it again. Germans, Portuguese, we all have our DNA. But nobody sports or presents the DNA of an American. An American is a choice. I'm looking around here right now. You got little flags. You've got red, white, and blue shirts on. And that's pretty cool. Why? Because you chose to do that. You choose to be an American. When you come to this country, you have chosen to adopt the culture of this nation. But what is that culture? You want to ask yourself, what is it? What am I doing by coming to America? What is it all about? How is it that the Statue of Liberty beckons to the world, bring me, give me, grant to me your huddled masses? Send them to me. You're homeless. Those that are despairing of life, send them to me. And America is made up of an incredible amalgamation of people all around the world. And we have chosen to call ourselves American. It's unlike any other nation on the face of the earth. Founding Father John Adams, cousin of Samuel Adams, declared on the 4th of July, regarding the 4th of July, he said, should be a day when we remember God's hand in deliverance and a day of religious activities when we committed ourselves to Him in a solemn act of devotion to God Almighty. That's what John Adams thinks the 4th of July should be about. My, how far we have strayed. In that same spirit, wrote President John Quincy Adams, the son of John Adams himself, the president, who, by the way, his son, John Quincy, became a president as well. In his famous oration of 1837, he said, and I quote, by the way, listen how much he sounded like his dad. He says, let us confirm the importance of remembering God's hand in our American independence. The birthday of the nation is indissolubly linked with the birthday of our Savior. It forms a leading event in the progress of the gospel dispensation. The Declaration of Independence laid the cornerstone of human government upon the first precepts of Christianity and gave to the world the first irrevocable pledge of the fulfillment of the prophecies announced directly from heaven at the birth of our Savior and predicted by the greatest of the Hebrew prophets. Cast your eyes backwards upon the progress of time as this 4th of July approaches. Let us break ranks with only participating in traditional activities and remember to take time to honor and thank Almighty God to make it a day celebration with solemn acts of devotion to God Almighty. This is a president of the United States of America, my friend, son of John Adams. When America was just at the point of breaking, it was now the winter of 1777. Samuel Adams, who Thomas Jefferson said, without Samuel Adams' clear understanding of liberty, there may not have been a revolution at all. Samuel Adams, does he sell beer? The beer is named after Samuel Adams. Samuel Adams was a revolutionary. He was a radical. He was a patriot. And I encourage you all to read his writings. I tell you, you want to write something down? You want to go drive Borders and Barnes & Noble's nuts right now? They tell me, don't say this until you warn us. Well, it's too bad. I just came into my head. You have got to buy the book by Ira Stoll entitled Samuel Adams, A Life. You'll think you're reading a Bible lesson. It's a secular book. Samuel Adams went to seminary to become a pastor. And his friend said, you stink so bad at being a pastor and your ability to not preach, you got to do something else. He became a radical for freedom. Samuel Adams, let us awaken then and invent a different spirit, a spirit that shall inspire the people with confidence in themselves and in us, a spirit that will encourage them to persevere in this glorious struggle under their rights and liberties shall be established on a rock. We have proclaimed to the world our determination to die free men rather than live as slaves. We have appealed to heaven for the justice of our cause. And in heaven, we have placed our trust. Numerous have been the manifestations of God's providence in sustaining us. In the gloomy period of adversity, we have had our cloud by day and pillar of fire by night. We have been reduced to distress, and the arm of omnipotence has raised us up. Let us still rely in humble confidence on Him who is mighty to save. Good tidings will soon arrive. We shall never be abandoned by heaven while we act worthy of its aid and protection, Samuel Adams wrote. Is that awesome or what? My goodness, that's tremendous. By the way, the day after that speech, it was noticed and recorded in the annals of American history that the Liberty Bell, because the British were attacking, was taken down. In fact, let me tell you a little bit about the Liberty Bell. Has anyone had a chance to go to Philadelphia and see that bell? Several of you? Well, look at that bell right there. That's it as it is today there in Philadelphia. I'm reading now, when William Penn of Pennsylvania established Pennsylvania's government in 1751, the colonists proudly celebrated their newfound freedoms. The Speaker of the Pennsylvania Assembly ordered the new bell to be struck and installed atop the State House, later to be called Independence Hall. He asked the citizens, quote, what shall the bell be saying? Their answer was, quote, let it proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. That's what's inscribed on the bell. That is Leviticus chapter 25, verse 10 from your Bible. Is this what our children are taught in school? I don't know. But when Samuel Adams said, let us awake and invent a different spirit, America was just at the point of caving in. America, listen, George Washington had 9,000 troops. 1,000 of them were barefoot. And at Valley Forge, they were leaving blood-stained paths in the snow. They began to strip bark from the trees in that winter and eat the bark. They began to eat their own leather off their outfits. And 3 months ahead of schedule, God sent a migration of fish up the river and it spared their lives. It was considered a miracle in its day, and it would be today. 3 months in advance, God saved them. And that's the famous picture, by the way, just before the fish came up that river and spared his troops. You've seen that picture of George Washington like this alongside his horse? The famous Washington prayer? I have a picture of that in my office right now. Washington prayed at Valley Forge, and God heard his prayer. John Hancock and John Adams in April 18th, 1775. Remember, this is a non-Christian nation, according to some liberals today and some revisionists. John Hancock and John Adams said on the 18th of April, 1775, "We have no king but Jesus," when they were commanded to bow in submission to the King of England. Those two men said, "We have no king but Jesus." So I wanted you to consider a few things. We'll go as far as we can this morning. I have more notes than we have time. Consider this regarding the spirit of America. The spirit of America is the spirit of life. America is still the only country in the world that people are trying to break into, not break out of. Why? Because America promises a better life. And our founding fathers knew something about that better life. As you read them and study them, it's in full agreement of John chapter 10, verse 10, when Jesus says, "I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly." Our founding fathers took that literally. Time does not allow me to tell you, to show you the quotes, but I'm going to put them up, I think, at my website, of all of these great quotes of our founding fathers saying how essential it is that the Bible be the foundation to the learning of the American student. The concept of the sanctity of life came from the Judeo-Christian value that was promoted to the world in America. Yes, it was known in Europe, but not like it became known in America. Our founding fathers, unlike your children, listen, boy, this gets my blood going. Your children in your schools right now are being taught that the founding of America was by a bunch of wealthy, arrogant, European white men who all had slaves. Isn't it interesting that all of those European white guys were the ones who started the abolitionist movement to set the black man free? And on the death of George Washington, his favorite companion, that you couldn't see Washington without seeing William Billy Lee. And when George Washington died, 50% of his incredible wealth, who was the fifth richest man in America at the time, when he died, half of his wealth, he willed over to William Billy Lee and set him free by order of George Washington. Think of that. It's amazing. Dr. Benjamin Russ, Benjamin Franklin, Thomas Jefferson, the founders of the abolitionist movement to set black men free. Why? Because they believed that all men were created equal. Were there those that dissented? Yes. Were there those who argued? Yes. Were some states warring against that thought because maybe it would disrupt their communities, specifically down in the South? Yes. It's hard to turn a ship fast. But thank God. What do you think, by the way, the Civil War was all about? The liberation of our black brothers and sisters. All men are created equal. Where do we get that from? Where did our founding fathers get that from? They got it from Pastor Chauncey. Did you know that? It was a pastor who declared that in a sermon. There were seven patriot leaders that were excused from the general amnesty given by King George III. Did you know that King George III in 1776 said, "All of you Americans who see yourselves as patriots, you can lay down your arms, you can repent from your silly ways, and you can come back under my authority again, except seven people. There's no forgiveness for them." The two guys at the bottom of the list was John Hancock and Samuel Adams. The first five guys were all pastors. The revolution, according to George Whitefield, the celebrated evangelist, said, as Alexis de Tocqueville in France, when he wrote in his book, they both agreed, the spirit of the revolution was birthed in the pulpits of America. Think of that. Because listen, our God is for life. Our God is for life. It is our God who says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life." And I want to ask you something. In your worldview, do you love life? And do you surround yourself with people who love life? Or do you believe in a system where life is only selected by those who are in power? Ronald Reagan said, isn't it interesting that all those who are for abortion are those who are now living? That's Reagan's wit, isn't it? The Pilgrim Fathers came here, contrary to our public school books. They didn't come here for gold. The Pilgrims in their own writing, by the way, go to Barnes and Nobles again. You make them rich today. And buy the writings of William Bradford. And read why they came. When they left England under the persecution of the state church, they went to Holland. But Holland was too liberal. Holland was too decadent. And they wound up leaving Holland for America in 1620. There were other explorers that had come to America, but nobody had ever survived at settling into America. And by the way, out of the 104 total, there's 104 immigrants on the Mayflower. If you count the two dogs, they had two dogs with them. There were 102 people, and within the third month of having landed, half of those people had all died. And if it wasn't for Squanto and Massasoit and the Wampanoag Indians, they would have died. And we hear in our school books today that they had a great harvest festival that we call Thanksgiving. That's funny. That's not what William Bradford wrote. They gave thanks to God, and they made that very clear. Be careful what you hear. Make sure. I encourage all of you, don't read a book on American history that's any newer. That's, if it's been printed after 1925, don't read it. It's going to be false. Listen to this. In 1606, the Virginia Charter was written in England. At that time, England owned Virginia, and Virginia at that time went from all the way from the Carolinas all the way up into Canada. That was considered Virginia territory. In 1606, the Virginia Charter said, "We, greatly commending and graciously accepting of these desires to the furtherance of so noble a work, which may, by the providence of Almighty God, hereafter attend to the glory of His Divine Majesty in the propagation of the Christian religion to such people as yet live in darkness and miserable ignorance of the true knowledge and worship of God, and may in time bring the infidels and savages living in those parts to a humane civility and to a settled and quiet government." 1606. It's from that statement that the Pilgrims understood that in 1620 America was a place to go to for freedom. John Adams wrote in his book in the summer of 1776, Thoughts on Government. He said, this is John Adams, ladies and gentlemen, one of your presidents. "It is the duty of all men in society." Do you have it up there? There you go. "In society, publicly and at stated seasons, to worship the Supreme Being, the great creator and preserver of the universe. And no subject shall be hurt, molested, restrained in his person, liberty, or estate, for worshiping God in the manner most agreeable to the dictates of his own conscience, or for his religious profession or sentiments, provided he doth not disturb the public peace or obstruct others in their religious worship." You want to be an atheist in America? You're free to be an atheist. You want to be a Muslim? You're free to be a Muslim in America. You want to be a Hindu? You want to be a Christian? You want to be whatever in America? You're free. Only this: don't hurt the public peace and don't obstruct the worship of others at their worship. That's America. Try that in Saudi Arabia. You'll get killed. America. It's where you live. And if we don't defend these freedoms now, while it's easy in the voting box and in prayer and by emailing our congressmen and our senators and our president and our governors, it's easy right now. Imagine if a tyrannical government expands and controls and takes over. At Monticello, Thomas Jefferson's home, if you've ever been there, you've seen the banner written in his own hand. He says, "Rebellion to tyranny is obedience to God." Think of that for a moment. That's Christian, ladies and gentlemen. We love the fact that we have been created by God to love life. Also this, we've been created to love liberty. The spirit of America is the spirit of liberty. Now, the Lord is that spirit, and where the spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And in Congress, July 4th, 1776, 234 years ago, this is what they announced. When in the course of human events it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another, and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitle them, a dissent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to separate. This is the reason why now the Americans said, we're breaking from England. Here it is. Number one, we hold these truths to be self-evident. That means every person with a brain knows this. That all men are created equal. Did you know that if you freed your slave or taught your slave how to read, that was punishable by death by the King of England? That they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. Among them are these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Church, listen, Christian, if our liberties are going to be defended and maintained, who will be the one defending them? Maintaining those liberties that our children might inherit from us and our grandchildren. Less than a month ago, Lisa and I became grandparents. I got to tell you something. Nothing gets you more pumped up about preserving our freedoms than having a grandkid. Because what kind of a world is your child growing up in? What kind of a world will we leave our grandkids? Will we have fought for freedom? Freedom must be maintained. There are troops of the United States deployed around the world for the defense of the freedom of those that those soldiers don't know. You and I don't know them. Let me tell you what you don't hear on CNN. That the people in Iraq are very happy to have been liberated. There's 100,000 Christians that are now Iraqis worshiping in churches on Sunday morning in Iraq. And there are 2 million Kurdish people in the north going to church on Sunday because they've been liberated from the tyrannical government overreaching its bounds through Saddam Hussein. Amen. That is a very awesome thing. But church, I got to tremble. I got to tell you, I tremble when I think about what kind of history are we going to pass on to our people, to our children. When Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5 tells us, you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children. And you shall talk of them when you sit down in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. Mom and Dad, that's what we need to be doing to our kids and our grandkids. Time is fleeting, and they need to know that there's a God in heaven that loves them. They're told that they're animals. They're told that they're byproducts of an evolutionary mistake. Our founding fathers were eyewitnesses to the birth of a nation. Listen to this. How politically correct is this? And then I'll tell you who said it. Let's pretend. Let's say Nancy Pelosi stood up tomorrow and said, let the children be carefully instructed in the principles and obligations of the Christian religion. Close quote. Who said that? Abolitionist? Signer of the Declaration of Independence? Member of the abolitionist movement? Surgeon? Dr. Benjamin Rush. He was also one of the founders of the public school system, ladies and gentlemen. Fisher Ames. I love this one. Ushers, just open the doors and let the maniacs run if they want to. Here it comes. Fisher Ames is the author of the First Amendment. First Amendment is constantly debated every day in the news. The author of the First Amendment said, why should not the Bible regain the place it once held as a schoolbook? Its morals are pure, its examples captivating and noble. The reverence for the sacred book that is thus early impressed lasts long, and probably, if not impressed in infancy, never takes firm hold of the mind. Is that not true or what? Oh, man. Listen, who's going to teach this to our kids if we don't? Number three, it's this, the spirit of America is the spirit of happiness. It's a funny thing, but Christians seem to like downplay the word happiness. And yet, every time you read it in the Bible, it's the word blessed. Did you know that? Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness. The word is happy. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, said our founding fathers. God wants you happy His way. See, we've re-engineered that and say, I won't be happy till I have a house on a hill with the fame and the fortune. And you, that won't make you happy. Where'd you learn that from? Where'd you learn that? You're not going to be happy. You think Hollywood's happy? I just saw a picture yesterday of Bill Gates. He's so unhappy looking. He didn't look happy. What shall it profit a man, Jesus said, if he gains the whole world, Bill Gates, but loses his own soul? You can't be happy in this world without Jesus. If you don't have Jesus and you want to be happy, you got to do drugs or snort something or sniff a gas tank. Heck, I don't know. Happy. Happy's constantly moving. I'm happy today. I'm not happy. I'm happy today and I'm not happy now. Listen, a Christian can be happy day in, day out. Why? Because God's on the throne and we understand that. It's our pursuit of happiness. That pursuit of happiness is all wrapped up in the fact that God created all men equal. And that there's a God that rules and reigns in the affairs of men. Happiness. Benjamin Franklin, inventor, statesman, ambassador, founding father, and I might add, inventor of the gas lamp, the lightning rod, the Franklin stove, and this is really cool, fins that you use in water. Benjamin Franklin invented fins. Ask her. She knows all about that. Must be a swim fin saleswoman in the audience. Benjamin Franklin says, I have lived, sir, a long time. And the longer I live, the more convincing proofs I see of this truth, that God governs in the affairs of men. And if a sparrow cannot fall to the ground without his notice, is it probable that an empire can rise without his aid? What a great statement. Number four, the spirit of America is independence. Independence. Listen to this. Stop apologizing for the American exceptionalism. Let me tell you why you shouldn't be shy about that anymore. Number one, get in an airplane and go to some other country. They'll teach you about American exceptionalism. Let a foreigner in a foreign country tell you how much they love America. Don't tell me. I have been kissed by thousands of Russians in Russia. I've been there 16 times. I've been kissed by thousands of Russians saying, I love America. I love your freedom. I love that you can go from state to state and that you can do what you want to do without having to check in. Listen to this. This is very serious. America is exceptional, which should cause you and I to be humbled, because we're not exceptional by some arrogant statement. We are exceptional because God started this country and God preserves this country. That's what makes it exceptional. That's why the world wants to come here. The world may or may not know it, but they want to come here because they recognize it's exceptional. But the modern day people in our news sources would have us apologize for that. They don't understand exceptional. God did a great thing. America has fed the world. When our own enemy during the Cold War was hungry, who sent them the wheat to stay alive? Who sent Russia the wheat? The belly of America, the great backbone of the United States, the plains of North and South Dakota and Iowa and Nebraska. As I said earlier, when there's a devastation in the world, Americans are the first to respond. Exceptional. Why? Because we understand that God founded this nation, and there's a war against that truth. We are independent people. God help us, but our youth are being taught this. Just sit down and hold out their hand until somebody comes along that's benevolent. You want to help somebody who's hurting? You want to help somebody who's poor? You pick them up, and you take them to work with you, and you put them to work. You give them a job. You teach them how to do a trade. You help them out of their hole. You don't keep them in it. You keep them in it by keep doling it out to them. That's why the Bible says, if a man doesn't work, neither shall he eat. Listen to that. Now, if a man's wounded, it's the Christian that's to bind him up. If our enemy's thirsty, give him something to drink. If he's hurting, help him. But if he's lazy, the Bible says, don't feed him. Why? He'll get hungry enough, like my mom used to say. I'd say, Mom, I'm hungry. Well, you want pancakes? No. You want scrambled eggs? No. You want tacos? No. Then my dad would say, get out of here. You're not hungry. Right? When you're hungry, you eat. Samuel Adams said regarding tyranny and governments, the supreme ruler of the universe, having been pleased in the course of his providence to establish the independence of the United States of America and to cause them to assume their rank among the nations of the earth and bless them with liberty, peace, and plenty, we ought to be led by religious feelings of gratitude and to walk before him in humility according to his most holy law. Is that beautiful or what? Benjamin Franklin said, this will be the best security for maintaining our liberties. Here it is. What is it? A nation of well-informed men who have been taught to know and prize the rights which God has given them. These cannot be enslaved. It is in the religion of ignorance that tyranny begins. In the hearts and minds of people around the world, America is still the only country where people want to come to, want to move to. Even in the midst of all of this terrible time that we live in. Number five, we end with this point. The spirit of America is the spirit of freedom. Freedom itself is a God-given thing. If you were not here Wednesday night when Chuck Smith was here, you missed an awesome night. Thank God the house was packed out. Pastor Chuck got up and spoke. He was like a kid in a candy store or like Pastor Chuck in the pulpit. Same difference. Pastor Chuck told an analogy. It was awesome. He talked about that muskrat. Remember hearing about that muskrat? He said that, and I'll probably mess it up, but you'll get the point of it, that this muskrat had gotten caught in a trap. Couldn't get out. And so the man was going to go get his pitchfork or shotgun or whatever you do to kill a muskrat and cook that baby up and have it for dinner. Now, let me tell you something. If you're the muskrat, what are you going to do? And listen, in reality, we are muskrats if you think about it right now. America's freedoms have been caught in a trap, have been taken hostage. And the man went down to the riverside and to get his dinner. And all that was left was a paw. What did the muskrat do? Chewed the paw off. Are you willing to chew your paw off to stay alive? Our founding fathers had no problem sacrificing their lives so that in 2010, you and I could sit here free. Free. They had vision. They didn't live for the moment. They looked beyond to a generation of people that they would never have known. How do you give yourself for a cause for those that you would sacrifice your freedom, your sacred honor, and your wealth for a dream, for a hope? They understood heaven's on our side. God put freedom in the human heart. Do you recognize that? Does that ring true in your heart? That you understand that you love freedom? Does the fear of you being imprisoned grip your heart for some reason? The way this nation's going, I will be in jail. I now have one of the most dangerous jobs in America. Will you go to jail? Will you die for what you believe in? There's the greatest fighting force the world has ever seen. Fighting for people in Afghanistan and Iraq whose faces are wrapped in a burqa or hijab. And they don't even know them and they'll never know them. And maybe they'll never accept the message of the chaplains that are preaching the word of God. But those soldiers believe in freedom. You say, well, my son didn't believe in freedom when he was joined up in the Marines. Is he home yet? Wait till he gets home. Wait till your daughter, who's a pilot for the U.S. Navy, gets back to Southern California and gets to go eat a Balboa bar again. And watch the tears go down her cheeks when she sees somebody drive by with an American flag on their car. We live in an amazing miracle. And will we defend it from enemies, both foreign and domestic? Or will we just make up political correct alibis for apathy. Franklin said, only a virtuous people are capable of freedom. As nations become more corrupt and vicious, they have more need of masters, said Benjamin Franklin. And is it interesting? You and I sit right here, right now. And we have seen the largest expansion of American government in the last year and a half than any other time in 234 years. And you have less freedoms at this hour than you've ever known. And the sad thing is, because not you, but far too many people are disconnected, and they don't even know that day by day decisions are being made with pens, removing freedoms from you. That's okay. That's all right. I don't want to hear that. I just want the free. Give me the free money. Give me the free money. Give me the free food. Give me the free house. Let Obama and his administration fill up the tank of my car. Is that happening? Wake up. The answer is not in the White House. It's in God's house. He started it. He'll finish it. The clock, I'm out of time. Listen, we got to pray still. Real quick. You know what we want? This is funny. Listen, sounds crazy to someone who doesn't know the American history. You and I are viewed as Christians here in our country now as the problem. We are the problem. We got flags on our houses. You're waving them in church, you bunch of maniacs. You bunch of revolutionaries. And I took the time to count. I'll do it again because I forgot. It was a long time ago. That was last service. I have 1, 6, 7, 8, 9. I have 9 American flags on the outside of my house, if you drive by. 1 out front, 8 in the backyard. You say, why in the backyard? Because I spend most of my time in my backyard. And inside my, Lisa and I, we have a spare bedroom now that we're empty nesters, which is an absolutely glorious, awesome, wonderful thing. That's great. Get those kids out as soon as you can. I have an amazing, there's 3 paintings in a spare bedroom, and one of them is the baptism ceremony of a woman by the name of Rebecca. She was known in England as Princess Rebecca. As she accepted Jesus Christ, and 1 year later, on her anniversary of her salvation, she was being baptized. And you know her today as Pocahontas. Her picture is in the Capitol building. I have that in one room. I have the signing of the Declaration of Independence with all 56 signers there on July 4th, 1776. And I have the embarkation that you saw, I think you saw a couple of pictures ago, where you saw William Bradford and the pilgrims leaving Holland on the Mayflower. And they had the Bible open to John 3:16. You can read it right there. If we're the enemy, then hear this. We want to see prayer put back. I underline the words put back. Not introduced. Put back. We want to have prayer put back in school. I got news for you. It's going on anyway, if you know it or not. But we'd like to see it put back in school again. Kids need safety. Kids need peace. Kids need to know God loves them in our schools. We want to see In God We Trust put back in our cities. Oh, have you looked lately? This week, cities in California are adding In God We Trust to their logo. We want to see the Ten Commandments put back in our courts. We want to see statesmen, no more politicians, put back in public office. We want to see the Lord's blessings put back upon this nation, not disaster. We need the Lord in America. I fear we've told him to get out of our country. I fear that he may just well be thinking about it. Let's get on our knees, church. We've promised to pray with thousands across this nation. Let's get on our knees as we end this service together. Oh, Heavenly Father, we join with our brothers and sisters from sea to shining sea. God, as we pray for revival in America, we pray for broken marriages to be fixed. We pray for children to be loved. We pray for pornography to be destroyed. We pray for our schools to be wise. We pray for our leaders to be either changed or replaced. We pray for the defense of our nation. We pray for our borders and their protection. We pray that you'd establish, Lord, once again, the laws that are, that those huddled masses may come and find refuge in America. We pray for our troops and our nation at war. We're so comfortable, oh God, we confess. We got up this morning, never thought that of our own and our own blood, they're being shot at this morning. They're being shot down at this morning. They're being fired upon this morning. All that freedom may ring. Freedom that you've put in the human heart. And that's why the gospel message of Jesus dying on the cross and being risen from the grave is the promise to set men free. Thank you, Lord. On this, Lord, the 234th birthday of America, we pray that you would awaken this great nation again back to please you. America, bless God. Oh Lord, we pray for your blessings and for your forgiveness. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, Amen. Church, let's stand and let's worship as we close out this service. This topic gets me excited. Love you anyway. Yeah.